everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you are listening to Author, where one writer talks to another writer about the books we write and the lives we lead and how these two are one and the same. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as audio and video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And Author is funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA and their fantastic yearly conference at pnwa.org. Well, as I said in my little intro, Author to Author is where one writer talks to another writer. In this case, the other writer, C.C. Humphreys, a.k.a. Christopher Chris Humphreys, was unable to join me. It's possible he still may, but at the moment, he has not. And so, it's you and me, listeners. And that's okay, because I'm going to talk to you about a little something, a writing myth that I have come across in my years in this little business. And it's the myth that writing is hard. Writing is hard. I've heard this over and over again. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's true. A myth, you know, is a story that could be either true or not. It's either metaphorical, meant to express a concept in the form of a metaphor, or is a story that isn't true that we believe nonetheless. And writing is hard, in my opinion, is a writing that isn't true that we believe nonetheless. And I think of all the myths around surrounding writing, none is more debilitating to the myth than the myth. Why do we think it's so? Now, I would like to tell you that I have never experienced writing as hard, but this isn't true. In fact, well, let's see. Many years ago, my mother had come to visit me, and I was writing and writing and writing, and I sat her down and wanted to explain to her exactly just how hard writing was. I sat her on the couch and I said, "You've got to understand just how hard it is to take this idea that's inside of you and put it outside of you that someone else understands. It's hard." And I said, "No, I don't think you do understand. It's really, really hard." And my wife was standing by and she said, "Bill, I think she gets it." I said, "I don't think she does." And so I told her one more time, "It's hard." And so I have lived with that story for many years because I've heard it and heard it and heard it. I heard it from other writers. I read it in magazines. And so I believed it. But I don't believe it anymore. But I do believe that there are good reasons that we think writing is hard. And there's three of them by my count. And the first reason we think writing is hard is that we think that writing is hard is that we are not a writer, that you are not a writer. The one writing is not actually a writer. Being a writer is somewhat unique in that, unlike a lot of the other professions we might undertake, we cannot do it unless we actually want to do it. I've interviewed many writers who are themselves lawyers, for instance, who like being lawyers well enough and make a very good living being a lawyer and have a lot of cachet and get a lot of respect from being lawyers, but they don't actually love being a lawyer, and yet this life as a lawyer. I was a waiter for many, many years, and I never really wanted to be a waiter. I was a bartender. I never really wanted to be a bartender, and yet I made a living at it, and I was able to do it. But you do not have this luxury with writing. With writing, you actually have to want to do it, or you can't actually want to do it. And there are many reasons why you might decide to do this thing called writing and not actually want to write. You might want to have the free time that you believe accompanies being a writer, or you might want some of the prestige that you believe accompanies being a writer, and these are all fine. But the actual payoff to being a writer is writing. I just interviewed William Landay, who had his sort of breakout bestseller, Defending Jacob, and he's currently one on the current issue of Author. And he described to me how he had written two books before this, and they'd done well enough, but this was his breakout. And he had gone, and he's now going across the country and having the experience of being a best-selling author. And he said, it's wonderful. He said, I like meeting the I like meeting the readers. I like doing the interviews like he was doing with me. But a part of him, he said to me, still wished he was back home at the computer writing his next book. That's the real payoff. And that is true of writing. You have to actually love to do it. Now, I had never once considered that I didn't want to be a writer. I had wanted to be a writer all my life, almost for as long as I could imagine I wanted to be a writer. But I went through many years where it was very difficult for me, and the writing did not come easy, and it got harder and harder and harder for me, and more and more and more unpleasant. And I reached a point where really there was almost no pleasure in the writing experience. I wasn't selling anything, and I was about as unhappy as I could possibly be. In fact, I had just reached a level of unhappiness that I didn't understand people could reach. And so I got to this point, and I did something that I had never in my adult life, or ever since I was 13 when I first really found that I wanted to write stories. I said to myself, Bill, I was standing in the middle of a restaurant where I was working at the time, and I said, Bill, what if you don't want to write? What if that's just some story you told yourself a while ago because you thought it would please you? What if the truth is you don't actually want to write? I'd never asked myself that question, by which I mean I had never asked myself that question and allowed there to be an answer other than, yes, I want to write, to be at the other end of it. But that day, I asked it of myself and allowed the answer to be yes or no. It could be either one. So I asked that question, Bill, do you actually want to write? And when I asked that, my imagination showed me something. The imagination is very powerful. They'll give you what you need. And on that evening, it showed me a picture. And what it showed me was Billy Knauer, 13-year-old Billy Knauer, sitting at his typewriter a half an hour before school would start, writing his first novel. That's what it showed me. And when I saw that, I heard a voice that said, if you quit, what will you tell him? That's what I heard. I left the restaurant. I walked out of the restaurant, took a deep breath, and said, okay, I'm going to keep writing, but I'm going to have to do it differently. But I had to ask it of myself, you see. I had to ask it of myself so that I could begin to look at writing as not something that is hard. So that's the first reason you might not be in writing might be hard, because you're not a writer. And you deserve to do something that you actually love to do that isn't hard. And so it's not writing. By all means, go do it, because writing isn't worth it. Nothing is worth the suffering of doing something you don't love to do. So that's the first reason. The second reason writing might be hard is that you are writing the wrong thing. It is entirely possible that you would like to write literature, but you are writing suspense novels, or you'd like to write poetry, but you are writing screenplays, or you're writing romance and you want to write chick lit, or you are writing something very close to what you want to write, but it's not precisely what you want to write. You are writing what you think you need to write in order to get published, or you're writing what you think you need to write in order to find an agent, or you're writing the way you think something, the suspense novels ought to be written. You want to write suspense, but instead of writing them the way you want to, you're writing the way you think you have to write them. In some way or somehow, you are writing something that is not authentic to you, and that is difficult. Because when you do that, what you are really doing is writing for someone else. Someone other than you, the person you think is going to accept this work and give you what you want, whether it's money or simply awards or validation or acceptance, but you are writing for someone else. And the problem with writing for someone else is they aren't there. They aren't there with you. And if they aren't there with you, you can't write for them. And so that is very, very hard to write for someone who isn't there. Now, if you wrote for yourself, you are there, and that's much easier. Now, I would like to tell you that I have never suffered with this, but in fact, I am in many ways the patron saint who wrote what they write. But I did it for 20 years. I wrote these books that were very close to what I wanted to write, but they weren't exactly what I wanted to write. And I didn't think there could be a difference. I thought, I love to write, I'm good at writing, I can apply it to anything, and it'll be equally easy. And I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and I did it that way for 20 years, And it only got harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. And mind you, I was a good enough writer that the books I produced, which were relatively close to the kind of book I actually wanted to write, the books I produced looked pretty good. They looked a lot like good books, and they felt like good books, and I attracted attention of agents and even publishers, but something always fell through. I did this for book after book after book after book, and it got harder and harder and harder and harder. And it came to a point where one day I had this wonderful agent, and he liked my work, but he couldn't sell it because the book I was writing at that time, it was a young adult fantasy novel, and there was a lot about the book I liked. There was a lot about the themes of it that resonated with me. But the fact was, I didn't read young adult fantasy, and I wasn't that interested in it anymore. But I did want to publish it, and I did want to write. And, of course, if you don't love young adult fantasy, it's very hard to write young adult fantasy, because the person who loves it will know something about it you do not. You know something about what you love that no one could possibly know unless they love it themselves. And I didn't love it. And so I was trying to write the next one, trying and trying and trying, and I couldn't. And it wasn't coming, and it was getting harder and harder and harder until I finally said to myself, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can't do this. And so the next day, I was pacing around my living room, and I said to myself, just as I had that day when I said, do you still want to write? I asked myself, Bill, if you could write anything, well, first of all, I said to myself, do you even want to write books? Do you want to write book-length things? And I said to myself, well, yes, I do. I do want to write. But it seemed true. I heard a yes, so I said, okay, fine. And then I asked myself, okay, if you could write anything at all, just anything, regardless of whether it's publishable or it's hot or people, you know what it is or don't know what it is, if you could write anything at all, what would it be? And I realized when I asked that of myself, it was the first time since I decided to start writing book-length projects that I had ever asked that question. I'd never simply asked, if you could write anything at all, what would it be? I just made the decision 20 years before that I would write these certain kinds of novels without ever checking in with myself, is that the thing you most want to write? I hadn't cleared the table, as it were, and said, anything at all, anything at all. And as soon as I asked myself that question, I heard the answer. And I knew that I would begin writing that book, and I did. And the very next day I began writing it, and I immediately had this feeling, and I heard it in my head, I know what this is. I know what this is. Even though I didn't know the form it would take, I knew why I was writing it. And it was probably the easiest book, well, not probably, it was easiest book I've ever written. So the last reason you might think that writing is hard is that you aren't actually writing, by which I mean you're sitting at the computer or the tablet or your desk, and you look like you're writing, but you're not. When you're writing, all you're doing is asking one question. What do I want to say? What is supposed to happen? What do I want to see? How do I say it? You're asking this, and you're waiting for the answer, and then you're translating the answer into words, and you're putting it down. That's what writing is. But if you are sitting there and actually thinking, well, this isn't any good. Who's going to want to read this? How am I going to sell this? The last one didn't sell. I wonder if this one's going to sell. If you're sitting there asking any question other than what do I want to say, you are not writing. And this will be very hard because you will have two stories going simultaneously, the story of what do I want to say and the story of who will buy it or is it any good or some question that isn't what do I want to say. And that other question becomes like static, running interference between you and what you're trying to say. It's as if you're trying to sing one song and you're in a room where someone else is singing another song. Now, after I started writing this story that I actually wanted to tell, the right story for me, after I started telling this story, It went very easily, and only occasionally did I have the experience of it being hard. Only occasionally did I doubt myself and doubt whether I should write the book, because I really knew that it was valuable, and I knew there was only, if I could only translate what I had sensed was valuable into words and into some kind of a narrative, that others would understand it too. But this particular story was a memoir, and as such, it was a story about myself and my son, and how raising him taught me sort of what I needed to know to be happy, essentially. And so the narrative had two parts. It had my son's part, as he what he was doing in first grade, and what he was doing in second grade, and what he was doing in third grade. And then there was my part of what I was doing in when I was 40 and 41 and 42 and 43 and so on. And so these stories went up together, and I was writing along, telling both these stories and telling about how when he was fifth grade, or he was in first grade, I did such and such, and he did such and such. When in second grade, he did this, and I did that. And so I was both telling the story of what happened, and I was also telling the bigger story of how the emotional change occurred within me and was occurring within him, which is the real story. So I was evolving the whole story, and I was on draft four. I was 12 chapters in to draft four when I suddenly realized that the timelines were off. I had not lined up our years correctly. What I had him, when I did something when I was 43, I should have actually been 42. And so all the story that I had written, while everything that I wrote about did actually happen, it didn't happen when I said it happened. And that did not matter until it did matter. It didn't matter until suddenly I needed us to be the correct ages when certain things occurred. And so not only did I have to go back and restructure what had happened, what I was writing about, but I also had to change the emotional flow, because every time something happened, I learned something. And so that was part of the emotional, my emotional growth and his emotional growth. All that was going to have to be changed. And as soon as this occurred to me, two stories flashed into my head simultaneously. The first thing I heard was this. I heard that, go back and fix it. It will make it better. I didn't know why it was to make it better, but I knew if I went back, it would make it better. That was the first thing I heard. The second thing I heard was, you screwed it up. You screwed it up again. Again. I don't know why I heard again, but I heard you screwed it up again. And when I heard that, all my energy became depressed. And it was like one of those moments in the movies where you've got a little angel sitting on one shoulder and a little devil sitting on the other shoulder, and they're both talking to me. Now, I didn't know for sure which of these was true. I didn't know, because I hadn't started rewriting it yet, whether rewriting it in this way would make it better. And I didn't know if I had really screwed it up. I didn't know if I had to worry about screwing it up again. But I did know this. I knew I was going to finish it. I knew I was going to go back and work on it. And so that meant I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision about how I was going to write it. Now, if I wrote it while listening to the story of you screwed it up again, that would make writing very hard, because that means I would be writing trying not to screw it up. And this is almost impossible. You could always screw it up. There's no answer to that. And so if I let that story keep running, don't screw it up again, don't make that mistake again, if I let that story keep running, that writing would have been very hard. On the other hand, if I follow the story of rewrite it and it will only get better, this would actually make the writing easier, because I loved this story. And that meant if I wrote this story and rewriting it in this way would make it better, that means I would get more of what I love. If I wrote it with the idea that rewriting it would make it better, I would come to it with enthusiasm, because I wanted it to be better. I wanted it to be the best it could possibly be, because I loved it and I believed in it and I wanted it to flourish. It was as if I had fallen in love with a woman in Italy over pen pals, and we've been writing for 9 months and had grown to love each other, and now in rewriting it, it would be as if she could come to America and we would finally meet. But it was the first time in my life, really, that I saw those two choices before me, and I understood that they were choices, and I got to pick. And whichever one I picked would be the reality I lived. And I picked, I'm going to choose to say that it will make it better. And lo and behold, the next day, I started rewriting chapter 2 because I had to go back that far to begin rewriting. I went back to chapter 2, and it began making it better. So, those are the three main reasons. However, many of the writers I interview who are themselves writers, know they want to write, and are writing the correct genre, writing in the correct genre, and are, for the most part, not listening to that inner critic. That is to say, they may hear from time to time, especially in the middle of the book, oh my God, how am I going to finish this? But the truth is, they have by this time learned how to work with that critic, to banish it from their workroom and work in a focused way. Even these writers still say writing is hard. Why is that? Well, I believe it is because they have misspoken. They don't mean that writing is hard. They mean that writing isn't easy, and it isn't supposed to be. To me, something easy is something that you can do without your full attention. You can drive without your full attention. Driving is easy. If you've been driving for years, you can drive and carry on conversations, drive and listen to the radio, drive and daydream. It's easy. The best metaphor I can think of is playing basketball. If I went to a basketball court by myself, I might stand under the rim and shoot baskets from there as if layups. That would be easy. I wouldn't need my full attention to get the ball into the hoop. There'd be a wide enough room for error. But when I go to a basketball court to shoot hoops by myself, that's not where I stand. I move all over the court. I shoot from every angle. Why? Because I want it to be challenging, because I don't shoot to put the ball in the basket. I shoot to summon my full attention. I cannot sink a basket from the top of the key or from a turnaround jumper unless I give that shot my full attention. I am willing to risk miss the satisfaction of not sinking the shot so that I can have the opportunity of having to summon my full attention. Writing is something you do that requires your full attention. You cannot do it unless you bring your full attention to it. That's what it asks of you. And many people are not used, I would say 98% of us, are not used to bringing their full attention to everything they do. We are in general used to splitting our attention in many different directions. Thinking one thing while we're in a conversation. Thinking while we're driving. Thinking while we're cooking. But writing requires our full attention. And when you bring your full attention to something, you feel yourself because you are your attention. Your full attention is you, and you will never be so happy as when you bring that full attention to bear. That is the gift of writing. But unlike a lot of experiences out in the world, like playing football, say, or running track, which I did when I was a boy, or going on stage where there's an audience, and there are all these people you feed off of and all these events that you can feed off that summon you into the present moment, like soldiers sometimes go into war and they are surrounded by bullets and bombs and exploding and they are terrified and also strangely exhilarated, they report, because in that moment they have to summon their full attention to stay alive. And even though they are on the brink of death, they feel as though they are alive. Well, writing can be like that, except there is no threat of death. There is just you by yourself. And so in that way, it's like meditation. And there is no threat. There is just you. But you learn if you can bring your full attention to bear there at the desk alone without anyone asking for money, without anyone threatening you. If you can bring your full attention to bear, you see the truth of it. It's always been a choice. It is always a choice of harnessing your full attention. And when you do that, that is actually effortless. It takes practice. It takes practice not to let it wander. It takes practice to leave your attention on the thing you're trying to say as long as it takes to say it. But the payoff, well, the payoff is as good as any payoff can be. That, to me, I have never felt as alive as when my attention is placed fully on anything. It doesn't matter if it's writing. It doesn't matter if it's making love. It doesn't matter if it's cooking or eating. If my attention is fully on something, I feel alive and I feel happy. And that is why I write, and that is why I believe that writing is not actually hard. But if you tell yourself it's hard, if you believe the story that writing is hard, when those moments come and you experience it as hard because you are telling yourself some story about why you shouldn't write, or you are writing the wrong thing, where you're writing the right thing, but not in the way you want to tell it. If you believe the story that writing is hard, when that moment comes, you will not question it. You will say, well, I've been told writing is hard, and now it's hard, so I guess that's just the way it is, and I'm just going to have to suffer through this. But on the other hand, if you don't believe that writing is hard, if you understand that that's just a story we've all been telling ourselves, if you instead believe that writing does not have to be hard, that that is not, in fact, in the nature of writing, then you might pause and look at what's going on. You might actually be able to hear the other stories that are running beneath the actual story you want to hear, which is just what you love and what you're trying to share. If you don't believe that writing is hard, you might take that moment and find out what you're actually thinking and silence those thoughts so that you can do what you want to do, which is to bring your full attention to the story you believe is worth telling. But you won't do it if you believe writing is hard. So I'm asking you today to remember, if nothing else, that writing isn't hard. It's not true. It is an urban myth. It is not in its makeup to be hard. You are just perhaps not used to laying your full attention on things. I've had to learn it. I learn it every day. But the better I learn it, and the more I learn it, the more I enjoy writing, and the more I enjoy life. So that's it. That's my class for today. I hope you stuck around for it. I'm glad you did. Next week, with any luck, I'll have Laura Munson on the show, and we will talk about, well, I don't know what we're going to talk about. That's the beauty of author to author. We talk about anything we want to talk about. I didn't know what I was going to talk about when I saw that Chris wasn't going to be here today, but there's always something to say because life provides you with an endless stream of things to think and chat about. So until next week, I encourage you to do what you love. Bring your full attention to it. Don't worry if your attention strays. You can always bring it back. And to remember that what it takes to write the book you most want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you most want to lead. It's true. I wouldn't lie to you.